It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price, containing a public health crisis.
Is the worst yet to come, Dr. Fauci?
Yes, it is.
That is our top story at noon. Coronavirus on the move and on the minds of many. The National Guard now set up in New Rochelle, New York, where a one-mile containment zone is also been set up to help contain the spread of the virus.
We have to do something. This is not going to stop spreading on its own. We are going to determine our fate. Our action in New Rochelle is just no large gatherings. People can come, people can go. There's no limitation on movement, but no large gatherings, because the large gatherings are where it spreads.
Governor Andrew Cuomo says schools and churches will shut down in that containment zone for the next 2 weeks. State Health Commissioner Dr. Howard Zucker.
And one of the places where people gather together, particularly, is the school systems and schools and other areas, events and daily or weekly activities. And we believe that the most important thing from a public health standpoint is to minimize that.
Over 1,000 cases of COVID-19 have been reported across 38 states. At least 32 people have died from the virus. Infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci.
You have to start taking seriously what you can do now, if and when the infections will come. And they will come.
President Trump's sitting down with Wall Street executives right now at the White House. They're going to talk about what can be done to protect the economy in the midst of the coronavirus outbreak. After a big rally yesterday, the Dow down over 1,000 points again today. Meantime, local colleges like Syracuse, Cornell, Bucknell, DeUville, and Edinburgh, the latest schools to switch to online classes because of the virus. Parents of kids at closed schools in Westchester County, New York, scrambling to find daycare.
Because of child care issues, I don't know what I'm going to do with my kids for 2 weeks.
Just having to reevaluate everything, figuring out how you're going to get to work and deal with the kids and stuff like that. It's a little tough.
Today, Chicago postponed its St. Patrick's Day parade. The Ivy League canceled its postseason basketball tournament. And the IRS is considering a delay to the April 15th tax deadline. All because of the coronavirus. Overseas, it's much worse.
The number of coronavirus cases in Europe continues to rise, with more than 10,000 in Italy alone. German Chancellor Angela Merkel said up to 70% of the population is likely to catch COVID-19 with no vaccine or cure. All health officials can do is try to slow its spread. Here in Britain, Health Minister Nadine Dorries has announced she has coronavirus. She recently attended a big reception hosted by Prime Minister Boris Johnson and the outbreak's epicenter, China, now plans to quarantine all international arrivals amid fears new cases there are rising again.
That's Vicky Barker reporting. Big night for Joe Biden. That is the other big story at noon.
We are a step closer to restoring decency and honor to the White House. That's our ultimate goal.
The former VP one step closer to clinching the Democratic presidential nomination after yet another decisive win over Bernie Sanders last night.
All those who have been knocked down, all those who have been counted out, left behind, this is your campaign.
Joe Biden winning at least four states last night, including the biggie, Michigan.
He needed to prove that he could win one of those battleground states in the Midwest that the president won narrowly 4 years ago. And he did it tonight by winning labor union households, white voters without college degrees, black voters, exactly the kind of coalition that a Democrat needs to win a big industrial state.
Political analyst Ed O'Keefe, fellow political pundit Peter Mayer, says besides Michigan, the Biden bounce was felt in other states too.
He also won in Missouri and he won in Mississippi, showing that he continues to maintain his support in the South, especially among blacks, and they also were key to his win in Michigan.
Joe Biden now leads Bernie Sanders by 160 delegates. Biden needs just over 1,100 more to lock up the Democratic presidential nomination. Judgment day for Harvey Weinstein. A judge this morning sentenced the convicted sex abuser to 23 years in prison. Here's legal analyst Danny Ceballos.
His sentence was on the higher end of the guidelines, which is within the judge's discretion. In all likelihood, it is a legal sentence, but it is a high sentence for a first-time offender.
Six of Weinstein's accusers in the courtroom today. The disgraced movie mogul's case helped launch the Me Too movement. Today, the Russian parliament has approved a bill that will let Vladimir Putin stay in power for another 12 years after his current term ends in the year 2024. Still to come this Wednesday, the National Guard in New York to help contain the coronavirus. We'll have the very latest, plus a nursing shortage crisis in Pennsylvania and how to lose that winter weight.
Well, good afternoon. The air has certainly cooled from the past couple of days, but a milder pattern will return tomorrow. I'll be back with forecast details coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania, Wednesday, March 11th. The number of coronavirus cases in New York has climbed to 193. Family Life's Paul Price.
Yeah, the majority of the cases are in the city of New Rochelle in Westchester County. Governor Cuomo ordering a one-mile containment zone around a synagogue at the center of the outbreak.
It is a dramatic action, but it is the largest cluster in the country. And this is literally a matter of life and death.
The National Guard will be brought in to help clean buildings and distribute food to people under quarantine. That one-mile buffer zone in New Rochelle will last for 2 weeks. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. Health officials in Western New York, meantime, say it's only a matter of time before the virus shows up in our neck of the woods.
In the near future, we'll likely have a positive, and we're going to continue to do tests as appropriate because that's what you do early in an outbreak.
That's Monroe County Health Commissioner Dr. Michael Mendoza.
This is a fluid situation, as you know. Ever since the beginning, we've been looking at every day with, a plan to understand what we learned that day, and then go forward based on that.
Officials say they're monitoring COVID-19 cases in New York to determine if big events like St. Patrick's Day parades will be canceled or not. Also, school districts across the state bracing for potential closings because of the virus. In Pennsylvania, state health officials say at least 12 people have now tested positive for the coronavirus.
What is most important is that everyone in Pennsylvania stay calm. The Pennsylvania Department of Health, with other departments and agencies, have the networks in place to ensure that we will continue to have a healthy Pennsylvania for all.
That's Health Secretary Dr. Rachel Levine. Syracuse, Cornell, Bucknell, DeUville, Edinburgh, all local colleges switching over to online classes because of the virus.
The potential risk that could pose to this community, we made this decision out of an abundance of caution on behalf of the community.
Dr. Michael Haney at Syracuse University says students will be out of the classroom right on through the end of the month. U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, meantime, co-sponsoring a bill that would require employers provide additional paid sick leave during a public health emergency like this one.
The United States is still the only industrialized country in the world that doesn't guarantee workers some form of paid leave. It is a major cause of economic insecurity for American families.
Wegmans, meantime, now limiting the number of bath tissue and hand sanitizer folks can buy because of COVID-19. A lot of stores running out of those things because of the outbreak. Family Life's Dee Helley tells us the MAC basketball tournament being closed to the public to help prevent the spread of the bug.
The MAC tournaments in Ohio will be closed to the general public. A MAC spokesperson released the news in a press release last night. The tournaments will continue as scheduled through Saturday. Credentialed institutional personnel, student athlete family members, credentialed media, and official team party members will be permitted to attend. Current ticket holders will be refunded. The University at Buffalo's women's basketball team is set to play Kent State at 7:30 this evening. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
Thank you, Dee. Critics of New York's controversial bail reform law taking away incentive for drug addicts to get clean in opioid court. That's what they're saying. Enrollment in that court in Monroe County has dropped 90% since the bail reforms took effect earlier this year.
I think bail reform is going to carry with it
a death count. It doesn't take a genius to see that it's having effect.
Judge Vincent D'Onofrio says the law, which gets rid of cash bail for most drug offenses, also getting rid of folks taking part in opioid court. That court has helped people like Bruce Washington break the chains of drug addiction.
Without intervention, I would have continued on using.
Critics of the bail reform law say prison was an incentive for drug addicts to go through opioid court to get clean. Now, without prison time, users are going back to their deadly habits. New York Attorney General Letitia James says changes are coming to the state policy governing the birth certificates of transgender people born in New York. It allows the transgendered to make changes on those birth certificates. A transgender individual recently sued the state for the ability to change the designation on his birth certificate from female to male. Pennsylvania politicians have enacted the biggest election reforms in nearly a century, but some Democrats say the changes don't go far enough. Representative Jennifer O'Mara wants to bring early voting to the Commonwealth.
My legislation would give you up to 1 month before Election Day to cast your ballot. It will help cut down on long lines, overburdened poll workers, and overwhelmed voting machines.
Another component to the For the People legislation includes campaign finance reform. House Minority Leader Frank Dermody wants hard limits on how much you can give to a political campaign.
It doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. People have had enough of big money speaking louder than the people when it comes to elections.
The For the People package includes 9 bills sponsored by House Democrats. Chances of passage, though, slim in the Republican-controlled General Assembly. Time to shed that winter weight and spring into summer, but the experts caution that transition may not be that easy. Amanda Shanahan is a registered dietitian and nutritionist for Excellus Blue Cross Blue Shield.
We have winter that we tend to, many of us, be less active and eat some of those comfort foods. It's pretty easy to put on extra weight.
When it comes to losing weight, the experts suggest start small. Here's wellness specialist Sharon Field.
Oftentimes I see people come to a lot of classes at the same time, and then they end up giving up easily because it becomes overwhelming.
Baby steps here, Field says, with the longer days outside, just taking a half-hour walk after work will pay off later on. The experts say the key is to make exercise a way of life, not just something you do to lose weight. There's a nursing shortage in eastern Pennsylvania. Here to tell us about it, Family Life's Terry Diener.
A healthcare foundation this week pledged $1.5 million to a new initiative called Careers in Care. The Northeastern Pennsylvania Healthcare Foundation will commit the money to the initiative over a 3-year period ending in 2023. The money is coming from that foundation along with the Scranton Area Community Foundation. The grants will be doled out $500,000 each year to recruit, educate, and train new nurses in Lackawanna, Luzerne, and Wyoming counties. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. 3 people now dead, 4 others hurt after a fire happened in northeastern Pennsylvania around midnight Monday at a building in Dunmore, Pennsylvania. Investigators still looking for a cause. Let's head on over to the sports desk. Say hello to Sonny. Your 2-minute drill.
Yeah, let's start on the ice, and the streak is over. Tuukka Rask stopped all 36 shots he faced. Bruins blanked the Flyers 2-0. That means the Flyers' 9-game winning streak is over, and Boston, the first team in the league to reach the 100-point mark on the season. In New Jersey, the Penguins' 2-game losing streak is over as the Pens win 5-2.
I thought that's one of the better games that we played, you know, one of the more complete games that we played in a while. You know, I thought all 4 lines were going. I thought the defensemen all competed out there. I thought we were playing the game the right way. And I thought our leaders set the example.
In Vancouver, JT Miller scored the lone goal in the shootout. Canucks beat the Islanders 5-4. By the way, the Owls have lost 7 in a row, 11 of 13.
You find a way to get a lead, and then they battle back. But it was a good hockey game, so we did a lot of good things today. And I think we're close to, you know, getting that one that's going to get us out, and then hopefully we can roll with it.
In Dallas, the Rangers build a 4-0 lead, held on for a 4-2 win over the Stars. David Quinn.
They get the second one, and they really thrive off it. And, you know, the ebbs and flows of a game and the momentum of a game. But, you know, then we get a penalty, and we do a great job killing. I really liked how we handled the 6-on-5. So, end of the day, it's only about one thing, and that's getting 2 points.
Blue Shirts 3 points out of the wild card. In the NBA, Nets blew a 9-point fourth quarter lead, and the Lakers had a chance to win it with Anthony Davis from three.
With four, with three, LeBron all the way. AD to win the game!
No good. Brooklyn shocking L.A. 104-102. And Coby White scored 20. Bulls took down the Cavaliers 108-103. Six more schools securing automatic bids into the NCAA tournament. Yale, Hofstra, Northern Kentucky, Gonzaga, North Dakota State, and Robert Morris into the big dance. And old rivals meet in the NFL Hall of Fame game as the Cowboys take on the Steelers, the annual preseason opener August 6th in Canton, Ohio. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphia.
Getting it done. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Wednesday edition of the Noon Report, coronavirus containment. We'll have the very latest. Joe Biden wins again, and March Madness bounces into the workplace.
We already know social isolation hurts the nuclear family, but we're painfully learning the elderly have even more to lose. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. A couple years ago, I came across a strange story out of Japan in Bloomberg Businessweek. Dozens of elderly women, it turned out, admitted to crimes of petty theft in the hopes of going to prison. "There are always people around," one of the inmates told a reporter. "I don't feel lonely here." I remember this heartbreaking story a few weeks ago when The Atlantic published David Brooks' latest piece about the nuclear family. Brooks argued that the nuclear family, as we define it now, with mom, dad, and kids, often isolated from extended family, was not the norm for most of human history. Much of Brooks' piece, as well as the significant volume of responses that it triggered, focused on the challenges of raising children without extended families. Unmentioned, but just as much at stake, is what the elderly population has to lose in these new modern arrangements. After all, it is one of the largest generations in modern American history, the baby boomers that make up today's elderly. Who's going to care for them? The lack of a clear answer to that question explains a whole range of strange and heartbreaking stories, like the thieving grandmas in Japan, or the increasing number of elderly people who die alone at home and aren't discovered for days or even weeks. According to the last census, nearly 11 million Americans over 65 live alone. Loneliness is especially hard on seniors. A 7-year UK study found that the lack of social contact leads to an early death, regardless of participants' underlying health issues. Because loneliness is linked to such things as high blood pressure, obesity, heart disease, a weakened immune system, depression, anxiety, cognitive decline, and Alzheimer's. Still, our loneliness epidemic is even more a cultural problem than a math problem. After all, the generation whose parents are now aging came of age themselves in the Roe v. Wade era. We'll have to come to terms with what legally treating inconvenient lives as disposable will do to our cultural consciousness. Inevitably, life post-Roe is too often evaluated, not in terms of its own dignity, but in terms of some sort of self-satisfaction bottom line. It's not hard to see where this slippery slope leads. Suddenly, we're toying with genocide against babies with Down syndrome. Suddenly, we're exploring assisted suicide and euthanasia, not only for the sick, but also the uncomfortable and the depressed. The criteria for so-called acceptable and even desirable death grows thin. All of us grow less autonomous and more needy with age. Words like inconvenient and burden, words used for decades to justify legalized abortion, are now being used for others. As Chuck Colson warned, a worldview that says, "We weren't made on purpose, but happened by accident," ends with the conclusion that life isn't beautiful anymore. Rather, it's a numbers game that favors the strongest and the wealthiest. Now, the good news is the body of Christ has what the larger world needs if it is to find a way to care for its aging population. The knowledge that all life is beautiful and valuable, even if it's vulnerable. We'll have to say that over and over and over, and we'll have to live it out too. There shouldn't be a nursing home in the country not flooded with Christian neighbors during visiting hours. On that foundation, we can develop plans for our aging parents that holds them as integral members of our families, not distant obligations. We must innovate ever better palliative care, and the church must become the leading place in the world where multi-generational relationships are both fostered and celebrated. Our kids, after all, are watching, and one day they'll have to decide how much of a burden we are to them. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Almost 20 minutes past the hour, Wednesday afternoon. Let's take it outside. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A chillier air mass is in place now. Will be in place through the night tonight. But milder conditions return for a time tomorrow. After that, a strong cold front will arrive Friday morning with wind-whip rain and then chillier, drier air that'll clear the skies for a bright but crisp weekend to follow. For this afternoon, turning out mostly cloudy with a sprinkle in parts of western New York, western Pennsylvania. Still some sunshine in the mix in some areas east of I-81, especially in eastern Pennsylvania. High temperatures mainly 40s. Tonight and tomorrow, a fair amount of cloudiness, not much more than that. 30s tonight, mildly tomorrow into the 50s. And then look for wind and rain Friday morning, clearing from the west later in the day. Temperatures peak in the 50s for many, but drop through the day, ultimately through the 40s.
All righty, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Wednesday, March 11th. Over 1,000 confirmed cases, at least 32 deaths, infections across 38 states. That is the very latest on the coronavirus in these United States. Health Secretary Alex Azar.
Right now, the risk for most of us of getting it is low, but over the next year, we're going to see further spreading. We're working to mitigate that impact.
New Rochelle, New York, and Westchester County, the new hotbed for COVID-19 activity. A one-mile containment zone has been set up there. All schools, churches, and large public gatherings have been shut down, and the National Guard has been brought in to help with the effort. This woman lives in that containment zone.
I wash my hands so much, they're getting dry.
It is a scary time.
Most of the U.S. fatalities from the coronavirus are at a nursing home near Seattle. Today, the city of Chicago postponed its St. Patrick's Day parade because of the virus.
We concluded that having a parade at this time posed a necessary risk to the public's health.
That is the mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot. President Trump meeting with Wall Street executives at the White House right now. They're talking about the economic impact of the coronavirus outbreak. After yesterday's big rally, the Dow down by over 1,000 points earlier today. Joe Biden, another step closer to locking up the Democratic presidential nomination with another strong showing last night.
Tonight, we are a step closer to restoring decency, dignity, and honor to the White House. That's our ultimate goal.
The big prize last night was Michigan, and it wasn't even close. Biden beating Bernie by double digits in the Wolverine state, a state Sanders won 4 years ago. The former VP says it's time to unite the party and beat Donald Trump.
I want to thank Bernie Sanders and his supporters for their tireless energy. We share a common goal, and together we'll defeat Donald Trump. We'll defeat him together.
Joe Biden now leads Bernie Sanders by 160 delegates. Here's correspondent Steve Futterman.
The states that are upcoming look very good for Joe Biden, but there is still that debate on Sunday in Arizona. It will be Biden against Bernie Sanders, just the two of them. And if there's a spot where Bernie Sanders might be able to regain some traction, it could be that debate.
Steve Futterman reporting. Bernie Sanders has scheduled a press conference for 1 o'clock this afternoon. Judgment day for Harvey Weinstein. Today, a judge sentenced the convicted sex abuser to 23 years behind bars. The disgraced movie mogul's case helped launch the Me Too movement across the country. A new report out today shows the U.S. government is ill-prepared for the next cyber attack. Here's correspondent Vicky Barker.
A bipartisan government commission says America's cyber preparedness is fundamentally flawed, and the government has to mobilize on a scale not seen since 9/11 if it's to protect itself from proliferating cyber threats. The Wall Street Journal reports the recommendations range from the minor all the way up to a major overhaul of the federal government. Sounds extreme? Well, the report essentially says America's national and economic security are at stake.
That's Vicky Barker reporting. British scientists now looking for 24 volunteers who are willing to be infected with the coronavirus on purpose. Each one will be paid $4,500 to take part in the vaccine development experiment. Volunteers will be kept in isolation for 2 weeks. Those interested can go to the website flucamp.com. 23 minutes past the hour. Next at noon, rescuing the refugee. Martha Manikas Foster goes inside out.
This year, the United States will open its doors to the lowest number of people fleeing persecution and death since 1980.
When we, as a nation, resettle far fewer refugees of any background, that affects those who are persecuted Christians as well.
Refugees are pouring out of many of the same countries where Christians face the fiercest persecution. Among the refugees admitted to the U.S. in 2014, for instance, 20,000 were Christians from the very same 50 countries that today the Open Doors World Watch List ranks as having the harshest persecution.
It was 17,000 in 2016. In 2019, it was 5,787. So it's a decline just from 2016 to 2019 of about two-thirds in the number of Christian refugees from the 50 countries on that Open Doors World Watch List.
But that's not to say that the U.S. is working to exclude Christians now or even to focus on them, according to Matthew Sorens. He's the U.S. Director of Church Mobilization and Advocacy for the global Christian humanitarian organization, World Relief. The U.S. will welcome fewer refugees this year, he says, and therefore fewer persecuted Christians, because the United States has capped the total of refugees allowed into the country to 18,000. That's down from a total of 96,000 in 2016.
That's going to affect Christians, while also affecting Muslims and those of other faith backgrounds.
Refugees are a kind of immigrant, and since most of us descend from immigrants, we have some familiarity. But refugees are, by definition, a very specific kind of immigrant.
A refugee, at least in U.S. law and also international law, is specifically someone who has been forced to flee persecution and flee actually their country. So they've left the country because of persecution that is specifically on account of their race, religion, political opinion, national origin, or social group.
And the upheaval in the world today means that a lot of people are fleeing.
There's more refugees in the world today than there's been at any point in recorded history.
Any point in recorded history. That's incredible.
Somewhere around 25, 26 million.
Million. Wow. World Relief, where Sorens works, was born out of the desire by American evangelical Christians to help victims after World War II. The compassion that motivated the war relief spurred it on to more robust refugee resettlement after the 1980 Refugee Act.
The strange dynamic is we see refugees fleeing, and most Americans, and I think especially Christians, we feel compassion. We want to help.
But refugees are seeking refuge because they're running from some of the most dangerous places in the world. Just look at the headlines. Syria is one of those places.
But you've got more than 2 million, nearly 3 million refugees living in Turkey right now from the Syrian conflict, roughly a million in Lebanon, perhaps about the same in Jordan. It's actually a very small number who've come to the United States, a much, much smaller number, maybe 10, 15,000, and now very few are coming.
Christians want to relieve suffering, but are often conflicted.
But it's a very natural human thing to then start to wonder what they're fleeing from and to not want whatever they're fleeing from to reach us.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this tension between compassion and maybe a bit of fear, or at least caution.
Well, is there a way to be both welcoming and safe?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I firmly believe that there is, that these are not mutually exclusive ideas, that we can be a compassionate nation and the church can be compassionate while also expecting our government to keep Americans safe.
The U.S. government has a strong vetting process, some form of which has been used since 1980. In that time, 3 million refugees have been approved to live in the U.S. The nation's resettlement agencies, most of which are faith-based, have helped in that transition.
And not a single one of those 3 million refugees has taken the life of an American citizen in a terrorist attack.
Not that every refugee is perfect.
They have largely done their job really well of keeping out those who would want to do harm and bringing in those who are genuine refugees who fled persecution. In the process, the United States government has saved probably millions of lives.
Saving those lives and welcoming the people into the country has traditionally been an issue close to Christians' hearts. It's an exercise of the Old Testament call to welcome the stranger, and it's a chance to live out Jesus' New Testament call to make disciples of all nations, in this case, right in our own communities. For those refugees who follow another belief system, volunteers from a church who help them resettle may be the first Christians they've ever met.
We do see families, when they're loved well by the church, they have lots of questions about who Jesus is. And we've seen families make the decision to become followers of Jesus in this country through the witness and the service and the love of local churches.
And when the refugees who come to the U.S. are Christians already, the American believers often have an opportunity to learn.
And a lot of refugees are already strong Christians, and frankly, Christians who've been persecuted for their faith and have some things to teach the average American Christian who has never experienced that, and God willing, won't experience that.
The cap on refugee admission to the U.S. does mean that fewer volunteers will have the chance to be the first to welcome refugees when they come to the U.S.
But there's still families who've been in the community for a few years who would still love someone to practice English with, or some of the cultural adjustment things, like, you know, learning how to do grocery shopping or how to understand the letter coming home from your kid's school.
It's a way of living out Jesus' call in Matthew 25 to provide for others' needs and so much more.
Yeah, it's both an opportunity to live out the Great Commission, and then on the flip side, it's an opportunity to stand with the persecuted church.
Matthew Sorens does a great job of explaining the situation refugees face, and you can hear that in our full conversation. You'll find it at fln.org/insideout. I'm Martha Manikas Foster with this Inside Out feature report on family life.
Great job, as always, Martha Manikas Foster. Inside Out comes your way Wednesdays during the noon report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A chillier air mass is in place now. We'll be in place through the night tonight. But milder conditions return for a time tomorrow. After that, a strong cold front will arrive Friday morning with wind whip rain and then chillier, drier air that'll clear the skies for a bright but crisp weekend to follow. For this afternoon, turning out mostly cloudy with a sprinkle in parts of western New York, western Pennsylvania. Still some sunshine in the mix in some areas east of I-81, especially in eastern Pennsylvania. High temperatures mainly 40s. Tonight and tomorrow, a fair amount of cloudiness, not much more than that. 30s tonight, mildly tomorrow into the 50s. And then look for wind and rain Friday morning, clearing from the west later in the day. Temperatures peak in the 50s for many, but drop through the day, ultimately through the 40s.
All righty, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. Finally at noontime, just in time for March Madness, a new survey shows employees like it when their companies sanction time at work for them to watch the annual college basketball showcase.
75% of workers said their company organizes activities tied to sporting events. 78% of employees at companies who do organize events find that it increases their morale.
Brandy Britton is president of a staffing firm in Seattle. She says the best workers are happy workers, and March Madness is a great morale booster at the office.
Although they may lose 30 minutes, let's say, a day from these types of activities, what they're getting in morale and retention actually helps them in the long run.
Unsupervised workers expected to spend up to 9 hours at work. Talking about the NCAA tournament, it comes at a time when some sports venues are scaling back or canceling altogether the large crowds to help prevent the spread of the coronavirus. And that is the world we live in this Wednesday. As always, thanks for joining us. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.